Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.
The primary way that God is made known throughout the earth, it's through you and me as His image bearers, and it's through the work that we do. If you're an accountant, a teacher, a farmer,
welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, a special guest speaker presents his teaching in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
So Genesis chapter 1, we're going to start reading from verse 26. And I just want to, you know, take some time to consider some of the implications of man, humans, you and I, being created in God's image. So let's go ahead and start reading in chapter 1, verse 26, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.' And God said, 'Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food.' And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." So it's interesting when we look at the 6 days of creation, and you know, as you go through the first 5 days, many of you will be familiar that after God finished whatever it is that he created on that specific day, he made a declaration, right, about what he made. What was it? It is good, all right? So 5 days, we hear God, after he makes whatever he made on that day, saying that it was good. But when we come to the 6th day, it's a little bit different. And as we know, man, humans, they were created on the 6th day. And at the end of the 6th day, God says something a little bit different, right? What does he say? It's very good. So it's interesting. There's something unique. There's something special. There's something about humans that completes creation. Creation without humans would be good, right? But creation with humans is not just good, it's very good, okay? So that helps us understand a little bit about, you know, man's inclusion into creation. And the next thing that I want to look at is how God created man. If you look in chapter 2 of verse 7, we get a little bit, you know, of a closer picture, a closer look at how God made man, man and woman. It says here, chapter 2, verse 7, "Then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." So, up until this point, until God had created humans, how did God create? Who knows? He spoke, right? He spoke everything into existence. God said, and it was, right? But then when it comes, you know, in chapter 2, we kind of have this kind of, up-close picture of how God made man. It doesn't say that he spoke man into existence, right? What does it say? He formed man, right? From the dust of the earth. He fashioned man. He made man. So the picture is not just God speaking something into existence, but God taking the dust of the earth, right? And he fashions it. He forms it. So we have what? A picture of some kind, you know, I think it's communicating a little bit of a closer relationship that God has with man, right? Now, the next thing we see is that God breathes the breath of life into what? His nostrils, his nose, right? It's kind of gross. Thankfully, this is before the fall, right? So there's no sickness. They're not like stuffed up, no cold or anything like that. But he breathes the breath of life into man's nostrils, his mouth, this area. And, you know, it's funny as I've thought about that. I mean, it's kind of gross if you think about it, right? Like breathing into someone's nostrils. I remember, you know, in high school years ago, I used to work nights as a lifeguard, right? And what do you have to learn to be a lifeguard? You got to learn about CPR and all that kind of stuff. And one of the things you learned is like an adult, right? When you're going to give them CPR, you like plug their nose, right? And you breathe it into their mouth so that when you like puff into their mouth, the air doesn't just come out their nose. But with children, there's like not enough room, so you can't like pinch their nose and like get your mouth. So you have to like put your mouth, what, over their nose and their mouth, right? So it's kind of gross. But the more I've thought about it, it's kind of like kissing, you know? But I have 5 kids, and we enjoy watching movies together sometimes, and they're fairly young. And you know, what do kids do when, like, there's a movie on and they start kissing? What do they usually do? Well, I have 4 boys. My girl, she's maybe not as much this way, but my boys are like, oh, that's so gross. You know, I don't want to see that. Come on. You know, dad, fast forward it. You know, but my 13-year-old, right, he's a little bit older. So he's like, oh, that's kind of gross, you know. And then he's like kind of peeking out, you know. So the idea, right, of kissing is kind of gross, but as you get older, it's kind of like, well, that is an expression of love, right? And it's an expression of intimacy and closeness. And so maybe the whole breathing into the nostril seems kind of gross. But I think the idea being communicated here is what? It's a closeness and intimacy, you know, that God, the creator God, the almighty God would somehow bend down and form man out of dust and then breathe into his nose. But you see, that's kind of radical. That's kind of crazy. So my point here is that man, humans, men and women, they're special. Okay? They have a very special place in creation. That's very clear. But when we go back to verse 26 of chapter 1, we read that God says, let us make man what? In our image, according to our likeness. And this is probably the one thing that makes man distinct. Well, it is the one thing that makes man distinct from all other creatures, animals, fish, any other created thing. Only man, humans, men and women, are said to be made in the image of God. Okay? And that's pretty crazy. And, you know, let's just think for a few minutes about what that means, okay, that man is created in God's image. There's been a lot of different kind of ideas and opinions about it, and they're all, I think, true kind of in their own way. But, you know, for example, you know, some people say, well, you know, what does that mean that man is created in the image of God? And a lot of people will start talking about certain qualities about humans, right? Like, or something that they possess. For example, they'll say, well, the fact that a human being has like logic, right? Or reason, they can reason. You know, that what it separates them like from maybe animals, the rest of creation, and that is kind of man in the image of God. That's what that means. And others will say, well, it's more like the spiritual side, the fact that man has this spiritual side of him, right? That means that he's created in God's image. Or others will say, well, it's kind of the moral maybe compass that every man has, no matter how well it's working or not. But, you know, the fact that, you know, there's this idea that there's kind of right and wrong, they can make moral choices, moral judgment, you know, that's what it means that man is made in God's image. Others will say, well, it's the fact that human beings are creative, right? God is a creating God, and we as humans also create. Obviously, we don't create from nothing in the same way that God created from nothing, but I'm sure even many of you here are very creative. Maybe there's some artists here that paint pictures, or maybe there's some carpenters that make beautiful things out of wood, or welders, or builders, or gardeners, you know, landscaping. Like, in a lot of ways, men and women, they're creative as God is. So some will say, well, that's what that means, that man is made in the image of God. And then, you know, one that is probably pretty more popular now is the idea that man is relational. Human beings are relational, right? Like, we can have deep relationships with one another, with other human beings, and we can have relationship with God. So some will say, well, that's what it means, that humans are made in the image of God. But what I would like to suggest to you today is that to be human is to be made in the image of God. So being made in the image of God isn't talking about some kind of quality that we possess or some kind of function that we perform, but it's talking about who we are as humans. It's the way that God made us. So to be human is to bear God's image. Why is that important? Because it puts high value on human beings, right? If every human bears God's image, then they have extremely high value. Now, this is a big problem in our world today, right? It's a big problem with individuals, how they view themselves, right? Am I valuable? Some people associate their value to maybe how their parents related to them. Maybe in school, right? It's how other students like talk about you. Maybe as you get older, a lot of people, they feel their, you know, value depends on maybe what kind of job they have, whether it's a more like prestigious job, or whether or not maybe they finish college, or all these kinds of things, right? A lot of times we get our value from those kinds of things. As individuals, how we view ourselves. Sometimes, that's one part of it. The other part is, how do we view other people? Well, you say, well, I'm not like racist or anything, or I don't discriminate. But you know what? I would suggest that you and I often put different values on people, very often in our lives. But biblically, if you're a believer here, then the Bible is telling us, God is telling us, that every human being is created in his image. And they have value. They have value. Now, I want to look at that. And of course, you know, that a lot of people will, you know, bring up the, you know, the whole topic of like abortion and those kinds of things. And yeah, that's why we believe that a child before they're born, they have value, right? Because they're a human being, they're created. After, when they're an infant, an older person, you know, people with mental illness. You see what I'm saying? Like, if we start saying that people are made in God's image, depending on some quality they possess, then it can change. You know, what about someone who's mentally ill that can't reason? They don't have the same kind of logic. Maybe they can't relate in the same way. You know what I mean? Like, we have to bring it all the way down and say that every human, if you're a human being, guess what? You're made in God's image and you have value. Now, what about the fall? What about sin, right? Sin entered, and it definitely has affected us as image bearers, right? It's marred God's image in us. It's maybe broken. It's shattered the way that we reflect God. So how do we relate to people as sinners, as fallen? Well, I'm sure you're familiar with the words that God spoke to Moses, right? When he said that if someone sheds someone's blood, his blood should be shed. Talking about the value of human life. And what is the reason given there? Because man is made in God's image, right? Genesis 9:6, because man is made in God's image. If you want to look quickly, even in James, if you want something from the New Testament, in James chapter 3, verse 9, this is what James says to us, those of us who profess Christ as Lord and Savior. With it, James chapter 3, verse 9, talking about our tongue, our mouth, the words that we say, he says, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. And he says in the next verse, it shouldn't be that way. That should not be happening. You and me as believers, why do we never, ever have the right to curse a human being? Why? Yes, they're created in God's image. That's what he says. Doesn't matter who they are. He's talking people, sinners, everyone. That's crazy. Do you relate to every human being in your life as created in God's image and with extremely high value? You see, that's why you and I, the church, should always treat every human being with dignity. Even though maybe that person isn't acting like it, maybe in our mind, they don't deserve it. But we treat them with dignity because they're created in God's image. Everyone. Husbands, we treat our wives that way. Do you value your wife because she's made in God's image? Wives, do you value your husband even though he's acting like a jerk sometimes, you know? Because he's made in God's image. Parents, your children, even though they maybe drive you crazy sometimes. I have a 13-year-old, you know, so he's kind of getting into that age, you know. It's like, man, like, your brain isn't working. What's wrong with you sometimes, you know? Those hormones are like cutting off all the blood flow to your brain or something. No, I'm just joking. But, you know, how do we relate to people? Maybe it's that person that just drives you crazy at work, you know? It's just a pain. I don't know, right? What about the people that we disagree with? Or maybe the people that are maybe a little bit aggressive and, you know, they're promoting their opinions and the way of life that they think they should be able to live. Do we treat those people with dignity? Do we see them as created in God's image? You see, when we see every human as created in God's image, it affects, it influences the way that we treat them. And I would suggest to you also this morning that it will help us build bridges, even with unbelievers. Do you realize that this is kind of maybe a different way of thinking about it? And, you know, I don't think it's heresy. If it is, it's Paul Lang's fault because he was my Bible teacher, but you can blame him. But every human, even unbelievers, they in some way reflect God. They image God because they're created in his image. Now that image has been broken, it's been marred, right? So sin has definitely affected it. But I challenge you, unbelievers in your life, try to seek out and find the ways that they image God. And that'll be a bridge right there that you can build with them. You know, humans, although we've fallen, right, and we're definitely affected by sin, we're not as bad as we could be because God is still present. Okay, and I'm not saying that, you know, definitely we need Jesus and the gospel is the only thing that saves people, but you can build bridges with unbelievers with just that idea that this person is created in God's image and there is some way that this person that reflects God. And use that as a bridge, a way to speak into their life, to say, you know what, that's good. That thing in your life, it's good. And I believe that that's evidence of God in your life. And I affirm that, you know? Like, let's be those kinds of people. What, our world is so filled with, what, division, right? And fighting. Oh, you're that party, I'm this party, and you have that opinion, and I have this opinion. And we become these, like, defensive kinds of people. Let's view people in different ways. Let's see them as created in God's image with high value. You know, we're reaching people that sometimes are very difficult to reach. Their worldview is radically different. And sometimes it's extremely hard to find bridges, you know, to reach the people that we're reaching. But it's helped me. It has. I'll be honest with you. This has helped me view people in general, but certain kinds of people in a completely different way. So that's one part of that. The next part is, think about this. Human beings are the one created thing, the only created thing that image God most completely, manifest God. Isn't that crazy? Think about it. Created thing, right? I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm not talking about the Word of God. But humans, you and I, out of all creation, reflect God most clearly. That's radical. Now think about that in the context of church. You know, I was sharing with people in the first service that I grew up in the White Mountains of Arizona, a very small town. We had to drive a couple hours to get to the nearest Walmart. You know, there was like no McDonald's in our town and all that kind of stuff. And so I was never around. And then when I was in high school, we moved across the country to the Green Mountains of Vermont, which, you know, most people I meet, they have never actually met somebody from Vermont, you know, because there's only 250,000 of us in the whole state, you know, so not a lot of people there. But, you know, so I did, you know, and then as a Christian, there was kind of this maybe attitude, or maybe it was just me, but the idea that, you know, if you really want to get to know God, you need to get away from people. You need to go, like, to the mountains, right? You need to go, like, the peaceful places and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not discounting that. That's good to do those kinds of things. But the Bible doesn't tell us that the mountains, that even the stars, the rivers, everything that's beautiful about creation, they declare God's glory, but they do not. They are not made in the image of God like a human being is. So think about that next time you go to church. I want to go to church because there are people who have been made in the image of God. Yes, they're fallen into sin, but now the Spirit is what? Transforming them into the image of Christ, 2 Corinthians tells us. And that is the one place that I'm going to see God most clearly. Usually, we can have a little bit of a bad attitude about church sometimes. I'm not talking about you guys, because I know you guys love the church and you guys are great and all that, the other churches. Yeah. No, but sometimes, right? And that's the attitude some people have. Oh, the church, man. I'm going to sit at home and I'm going to like watch it on TV, or I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray, and that's good enough for me. People say, well, I would love the church if it wasn't for the people, you know, and, you know, all these kinds of things, right, that we hear sometimes. What? Where did we get that from? Right? It's great. We come to hear the word. We come to worship, music, to fellowship. But do you know what? You can learn more about God from each other than any place else in the world, from any other created thing. Isn't that crazy? I've learned more about God, you know, from my wife than any other place besides the Word of God. Compassion, encouragement, mercy. Come to church. Be excited. Ask God, Lord, I want to know you by talking with Wes, you know, or whoever. Because that's where God is. That we're made in God's image. It's crazy. And then the last thing that I want to mention here is the commission that God gave to man at the very beginning. What did he say? It says that God blessed man and women. He said, what? Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, right? And have dominion, subdue the earth. Now, this is a big topic, but just in 5 minutes, God put human beings in the Garden of Eden, right? That was the original place that he put Adam and Eve. And when he put them there, in verse 15 of chapter 2, God said that he put them there to keep and cultivate the garden. Okay, that was to work in the garden. That's why he put them there. And if you look at it, God created the garden. He put man in this ideal environment. And the garden was supposed to be the place that, you know, man had everything he needed, all the food. We read that. It was for man from the trees, from the seeds. And it was the ideal place for man. And then man was in the garden, and he was there to image God. He was bearing God's image. But man wasn't just supposed to stay there in the Garden of Eden originally. Because God said what? Multiply, be fruitful, and fill the earth. Okay? They were supposed to go out. And so we could say that man, human beings, they were supposed to expand the garden throughout the whole earth. That was the commission. That was the original commission that God gave to human beings. And the primary way that they did that was by doing the work that God had given them to do. And so I just want to suggest to you this morning that the primary way that God is made known throughout the earth, it's through you and me as his image bearers, right? As I mentioned before, God is, he's transforming us into the image of Christ. And it's through the work that we do. It's through the work that you do. If you're an accountant, a teacher, a farmer, whatever it is that you do that benefits mankind, that's God making himself known to people. And think about it. The original commission that God gave, he actually gave a very similar one to Abraham, right? When he said go, and he was supposed to be a blessing, right, to all nations of the earth. But then what happens? Jesus comes, and what does he tell his disciples? We call it the Great Commission, right? In chapter 28 of Matthew, he says, go into all the earth. So I would suggest to you that this is an echo of the original commission that God gave to all humans when he said, when he blessed them and he said, be fruitful, multiply, right? That's, a lot of people will use that to talk about procreation and how that's good, and that's part of it. But it's more than that, because he says to fill the earth. So, you see? So man's original kind of purpose was they were made in God's image. They bear God's image. And as they live and as they work, they're supposed to take that throughout the whole earth. And that's what you and I are doing. So the Great Commission, unfortunately, often is like applied to missionaries, right? People that go to different countries. And that's, it includes those of us that do that. But it's for all of us. That was the original thing from the beginning. It's for you and me. We're supposed to fill the earth with the knowledge of God as we bear his image, right? And as we work.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word.